Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Well, welcome to Lighthouse. We're so glad you're here this morning. For those of you that have braved the snow and overcome the flu, and you're all here this morning, we're grateful. And then for those that are watching our new platform, Lighthouse Online, we're grateful for you also. It's been a snowy morning. My name is Larry. I'm one of the elders here at Lighthouse. Now, a couple weeks ago, I found myself in the night, a cold, windy night, on the side of US 23, just below Cary, talking to the man who was loading my car onto a flatbed to be towed. Okay, some of you have been in that exact circumstance, right? Anyway, the driver of this tow truck was doing his thing, and you could see that he had had some kind of a really serious physical limitation. Something had happened to him, and I didn't know exactly what was going on. But I'm standing there outside next to my car, and semis are whizzing by on the side. I don't know, I should have been in the car probably, but he starts to spill. He starts to tell his story. He starts to tell all about what had happened to him. Rods and pins, 10 surgeries, 7 months in the hospital. He was talking about being in a coma for 2 full weeks. And he remembers being in the room and aware of his surroundings. He could hear doctors and nurses talking to him, but he had no ability to communicate with them. At one point, he said, I remember seeing these bright lights that are brighter than anything I have ever seen in my entire life shining right in my face that I couldn't escape. He has this enormous story of 7 months in the hospital. And as I'm sitting there talking to this man in the, actually listening in the freezing cold, man, my heart starts to move toward this man. And I start to wonder if maybe there's more to this moment than this little deer incident that my wife was involved in. By the way, she's fine. We bagged a buck. We got it with a 2.5 liter Toyota. The car's in the shop. We're hoping for the best there. Yeah. So finally, I asked him, I said, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? I mean, you've been through one of the most horrendous kind of circumstances I have ever heard about in my life. A tremendous, tremendous. And he wears the scars in his body from this injury that he will wear for life. And I said, do you believe in God? Do you think that there's purpose to what's happened here? And for the longest time, he hesitated. And I wasn't sure what was going on, so I just waited as he's collecting his thoughts. He's looking at me, and finally he said, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if there's a God or if there isn't a God. I'm just not sure. Now, the thing that bothers him the most is the notion or the idea that God has always existed, that he was there at the very beginning, and that he's always been there. Now, as we talked about that topic, I asked him, I said, well, if there's no God in the beginning, where did the dirt come from? And, you know, he's equally troubled by that because there's something here. There's not nothing here. And he's troubled by the idea that something has always been here, whether that be God or whether that be something else. He can't quite get his arms wrapped around that whole thing. Now, he was very clear with me. He's not saying that he doesn't think God exists. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, I simply don't know. And I don't know where I can go to find an answer to the question that I really trust. Now, he's heard lots of things. And so what he relies on is his instincts. He's heard things from preachers in his family, that he has uncles that are back in the extended family. He's heard lots of things. He has lots of ideas that he's developed in his mind about what life is about, what happens after you leave this world, all those kinds of things. And he has, in his mind, adopted what he thinks is true. You could call it maybe his truth, That's where he hangs out. Well, the question is this: do you believe in God? That's a very fundamental question that most of us kind of push off to the side. You know, you think about that at funerals or other times, but you try to just live your life and push that thing to the side just a little bit. If the Bible is in fact God's word, and God has communicated with us through the scriptures, it is essential that we learn how to study and read the Bible to understand what God has said to us. In fact, the Bible is the only way we can find out the answers to the questions that are the most important. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said this: "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God has spoken to us, and he has spoken to us in human language. He's spoken to us in words. Let's pray together as we begin this morning. God, I pray for a sense of desperation, a desperation to know you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts, open our minds, help us to understand. We pray that you give us the gift of discernment, that we would be able to tell the difference between that which is true and that which is nonsense. We pray you'd help us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, today we're talking about how to read the Bible, okay? And I want to do just four things today. First of all, I want to talk about the principal reason for reading the Bible as a starting point. Secondly, I'd like to talk about a few things that the Bible says about itself. Then we'll move on to some practical advice on how to read the Bible, how to start. And then finally, I want to just share some personal comments about this topic. So first, let's just jump right in and talk about the principal reason for reading the Bible. For this, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 6. And this is what the author says: "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Not only has God spoken to us, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's what the scriptures say. Without faith, we can't please God. Coming to God, starts with this idea that he's there. You have to start somewhere, right? But when we seek God, there's a very specific reward from God associated with earnest seeking. That's something to remember. One of the most insightful accounts, from my perspective, in the life of Jesus is an interaction between Jesus and the boy of a father who's possessed by a demon. This is in, you find this in Mark chapter 9. And this is the account. Jesus asks this boy's father, "How long has he been this way?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus, "If I can," said Jesus, "everything is possible to a person who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I love this passage because it points out something very clearly that's essential about the character of God. You know, we know that God detests hypocrisy. We know that, right? But it is God's kindness, it is God's goodness, it is God's compassion that draws us to repentance, that draws us to God. It's not his anger and his meanness, it's his kindness that draws us to repentance. It is okay to pray prayers like the prayer this man prayed. "I do believe, but help my sense of unbelief." Because all of us have a degree of unbelief mixed in. It's essential to remember also what Hebrews says, that when we seek God earnestly, there is a reward associated with that action. Thinking back to my conversation last month to this gentleman on the side of the road, it seems very clear to me that he was operating from a perspective of his truth, the things that he believes are true that are running around in his own mind. He's looked at all these facts and circumstances. He's heard lots of things. He's thought about this question a great deal. He's had a lot of religious experiences in his life. And what he has come down to is his truth, what he believes to be true. He doesn't look outside of himself for truth. He looks inside himself for truth, and he can't find the answer to his question. Even after seeing white lights in a coma, he doesn't reach past himself for a source of truth outside of himself. And I would suggest to you this, that the Bible gives us the opportunity to reach outside of our own thoughts and to access the actual thoughts of God himself. That's what the Bible allows us to do, to know what God is thinking. In John chapter 5, some very religious people said something very interesting, or Jesus talking to some religious people said something very interesting about the scriptures. He said this in beginning at verse 39, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Well, these are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life." Jesus is suggesting that seeking God by studying scriptures is a good thing, and yet there are many people who know the scriptures, and somehow in that process, they completely miss Jesus. You can miss the point of what's true, even though you're studying the scriptures. Reading the Bible is not about accumulating religious information. It's not an academic exercise. It's not about anything except new life. It's about knowing God. It's about finding Him in the pages of Scripture, not some kind of religious exercise. It's not about philosophy. It's not about business. It's not about making the best version of yourself, but instead, it's about finding God. The call to reading the scriptures is a call to an understanding that this is a supernatural book. This is God's communication with us, and that when we seek Him there, the reward is that we will find Him there. Those who seek will find. The first point is simply this, to recognize that the principal reason that we read the scripture is to seek God. Not something else, it's to seek God. And the reward for seeking God is that we find God. That's the reward. And of course, when you find Him, there you find everything else that you maybe didn't even know you were looking for. The second thing I'd like to talk about today is a few things that the Bible says about itself. Now, the Holy Spirit, a member of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth in the Scripture, the one who tells the truth, the one who is the revealer of truth. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus speaks right at the end of his life. This is the last week of his life, just before he's going to be arrested, okay? Right at the end, and he's kind of pressing in and telling us things that are super important for everyone to know. And he says this, "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." The Holy Spirit is the one who exposes to us everything that God wants us to know. That's how we learn. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He's our teacher. We're not talking about better religious ideas. We're talking about something that is objectively true. true, something outside of ourself, independent of our perception. We can have all kinds of wacky ideas. We're talking about something that's true and not changing, something that exists outside of ourselves. Not my truth, but that which is true. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings salvation. He's the one who brings heart change. The Holy Spirit, Pastor Fritz read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 last week. The Holy Spirit is the one who exposes our hearts to ourselves. He's the one that brings understanding and helps us understand what's real and what's true. The Holy Spirit is the one who seals us for eternity, a permanent transaction, salvation. Christians, they know his voice because the Holy Spirit resides inside of them. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, but also, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is the one who brought the Bible to us in the first place. He's the one who brought the Bible into existence, right? Consider what Peter says. Now, Peter was a personal friend of Jesus. He was there the whole time. He saw the resurrection of Jesus. He was a friend of Jesus, right? And this is what he writes in chapter 2 of his second letter. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of the Scripture came by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That was the process by which we gain the Scripture. Peter calls the Bible completely reliable. He calls it something worthy of our recognition, understanding. The Bible brings light and salvation to our hearts. It's by the Bible, it's by the Scripture that we're actually born again, born into new life in Christ. Near the end of this passage, Peter says that God used people to write down his words. Yet it wasn't the human best idea that was written. In fact, it says that these men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. You can say it this way: the Holy Spirit guided and directed the Scriptures such that the words were written were not the person's own words, but actually God carrying them along as they wrote. It's almost like this. It's like a wind pushing a sailboat, you know, that the boat ends up at the destination intended, that what we have in God's word is directly from him. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church there, and he says this: I want you to know, brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians, that the gospel I preach to you is not of human origin. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's not a religious system to follow, but in fact, what we're talking about is the communication of God to us so that we can know him. That's what's going on in the Scripture. So we've talked a little bit about the reason for reading the Bible, to know God, that those who earnestly seek him find him, that there's a reward. We've also talked about the Bible, what it says about itself, that the Holy Spirit led the writers of Scripture so that the Scriptures are God's word, something reliable, something that we can trust. The Holy Spirit is the one who points us to Jesus, right? And so now I want to kind of move along and talk about some practical advice for discovering God in the Bible. How do we approach this book if we want to find God in the Scriptures? You know, whether you're reading the Bible in a paper copy, reading it on a phone, or listening to a Bible app while you ride in your car, it's all the same. The process is identical in terms of how you listen to the Scriptures. Now, the first of the four steps, I would say, is this: pray before you start. Pray before you start. You know, we're talking about reading a supernatural book. You don't read the Bible like you read history or philosophy or business or something like that. We're reading God's Word. We want to hear the heart of God. We want to see the character of God. We want to see what's true, okay? So we read the Bible differently than we read other kinds of literature, right? If you're earnestly seeking God, you can ask God to open your heart and your mind to the scriptures before you read. So the starting point for reading the Bible is to recognize what it is and to start with prayer. Now, I'd like to maybe demystify what I mean by starting with prayer here for just a minute. This is the prayer that I pray before I read the scripture. Okay, this is it. I say, God, would you please quiet myself and open my heart and my mind, because I want to see Jesus in the pages of Scripture today. That's my prayer when I start reading the Scripture. It's not complex. It's seeking God in the pages of Scripture. It's worth remembering from our study of Hebrews last year that Jesus is the one who gives us an audience with God the Father. We don't need a priest. We don't need a bag of good works. We don't need a bunch of promises and vows before God. We don't need any of that to walk into the presence of God. What we need is Jesus as our forgiver and leader to enter the presence of God. That's how we get into the presence of God, through what Jesus has done for us. And don't forget this, Jesus is our advocate. He's not our accuser. He's right there with us, introducing us to the Father. In fact, the Holy Spirit is there too. The Holy Spirit gives us words to pray when we can't think of the words ourselves, and God interprets those words according to the will of God. Yeah. So God is for us, inviting us into prayer. It's okay to pray that prayer. God, I believe. Help my sense of unbelief. God hears honest prayer like that. The Bible is full of examples of ordinary people like me and like you praying to God and God hearing them as they pray. That's where we start, with prayer. The second step in reading the Bible is going to sound underwhelming, but this is it. Start with the Bible. Start with the Bible, with what God has said. Here's a simple question, and I think the answer is obvious. Would you rather hear God speaking to you, or would you rather hear somebody speaking secondhand about their experience with God? Which would you rather hear? I think most of us would rather hear directly from God himself, and that's what the scriptures allow us to do. Bible footnotes, Bible commentaries, books about the Bible, devotionals, all of that is somebody else's words. They're not bad, they're not evil, I'm not saying that, but those are somebody else's words. You have the opportunity to actually read what God has said directly from the scriptures. Why accept a filtered view if you can have the real thing? Before you think I'm a heretic, okay, I understand that these resources are important, but I think they come later. I think you read first, and then if you have questions, to go back to resources for others who have been before you to help you understand what God has said. Those resources make a lot of sense. I want to hear from the heart of God. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me as I read the scriptures. That's what I want. And you have to do that by reading the scriptures itself, not reading what someone else has said about the scriptures. And honestly, I'm looking for the reward. And remember what the reward is, right? If you seek him, you find him. That's the reward of reading the scriptures. Now, the third step would be this, to start with a recognized translation of the Bible that helps you understand. That might be different for different people. There are Hebrew manuscripts, Greek manuscripts. They're the same manuscripts all the translations flow from. There's not a bunch of different stuff that they're starting from. They're starting from the same point. groups of scholars get together called translation teams, and they do the best job that they can taking that truth from the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic and making that as clear as they possibly can in English. Sometimes translation teams will start from more of a word-for-word basis. Other times, they'll start from more of a thought-for-thought basis. And frankly, both are completely okay. They're good. Hebrew and Greek are structured as language very, very different than English. Okay, so it's very hard to do a word-for-word and have anything that reads close to English. And so there's an art to taking a translation and making the communication as clear as it can possibly be. And English continues to evolve. You know, the English that was spoken 200 years ago is different than the English spoken today. And so what I would suggest is find a current English translation that allows you to understand what God has said. That's a starting point. Three that I would throw out are the New International Version, the NIV, the New Living Translation, NLT, and the ESV, the English Standard Version. Now, there are lots of other good translations, and I'm not saying there aren't. I'm just saying these are three good ones. They're current English that are trying hard to make the Bible understandable. I've said before to the church that the New Living Translation changed my life in 2010. It was a game changer for me. I was at that place of desperation, really wanting to read the scriptures with fresh eyes, and the New Living Translation allowed me to do that. It was kind of like reading it for the first time, because the English was so different than what I had read before. God was speaking to me as I read. Now, this past year, I've switched from the New Living Translation to the New International Version for one reason. And the reason is because familiarity causes my mind to skip over words and miss what's written. And so just changing a translation to another good translation, just the nuanced difference between the different translation committees and how they try to take that Greek idea and make an English sentence out of it, right? Causes me then freshly to engage in what's actually said by God in the scriptures. And so changing translation, sometimes reading in more than one translation, will help you see something in a unique way. Sometimes it strikes me really clean as I read from a different translation. I know people who are dedicated to a certain translation and to a certain tradition, and they are certain that that's the best thing, you know? And I don't think it's important or very helpful to debate with them about that because their minds are made up. But what I would debate is this. If you're not hearing from God as you read the scriptures every day, I would suggest you make a change. That's what I would suggest. Find him in the pages of scripture. The fourth step, I would say, is this. Start easy. Start easy. You probably know that the New Testament begins with the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are accounts of the life of Jesus, and that's a wonderful place to start reading the scripture. The Gospel of John is my favorite because the Gospel of John is completely focused on one question. Who is Jesus? 21 chapters, a chapter a day. You can actually read the Gospel of John in just 3 weeks' time and answer that question as you go, or ask the question as you go. Who is this man, Jesus? The other Gospels are great too because across the four Gospels, you get a full view of the life of Jesus. From the Gospels, the Bible moves to the book of Acts. I've just recently got out of the Gospels, and I've been reading Acts again as I think about County Road 99 and all that God is doing here, right? This is the beginning of the church. This is the period of time right after Jesus is gone and the Acts are, all the Acts of the Apostles, all the things happening as the church age starts and the gospel's going out, people are saying yes to Jesus. Everything's just fresh and new. It's just great to see. There's persecution, there's reaction to that. And it's all alive as the church is growing and people are hearing from God. After Acts, there's all the letters to churches. The apostles wrote letters back to churches that cover virtually every topic you can imagine that's important to know about. Like Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and Colossians, letters to the churches at Corinth, letters to people like Timothy, right? All these letters, the three letters to John, all of these letters that explain everything about the church and give you great insight into life and who God is. If you ask me for my two best ideas in terms of reading the Bible, the first would be the 30-day with Jesus reading plan. 30 days to read and learn significantly who Jesus is just by reading pages of Scripture talking about Jesus. And the other would be a gospel account of the life of Jesus. If you're new to the Bible, or maybe you've been in the church for 25 years and never really read the Scriptures for yourself, whatever camp you're in, a good place to start might be the How to Find God Bible. We have these out in the Welcome Center, and this is written in the New Living Translation. It's a New Testament. And the thing I like about this, I've actually given hundreds of these away to people. We get these for a couple bucks a piece, and we give them away. We put the 30-day with Jesus reading plan sheet right in there. And this is a New Living Translation, but it's also full of all kinds of helps. For instance, the first part of this, it's a bunch of questions, the kinds of questions normal people ask about faith. That's how I would list them. It's a great place to start if you've never read the Scriptures before. I want to move now and finish today by just giving some personal comments about my journey with Scripture. Now, I became a believer when I was 12 years old. I'd never heard the gospel before that, and I heard the gospel and I believed. And from that moment, I sensed the Holy Spirit was with me. I knew that that was true. I had a background with lots of influences like most people. I had lots of Catholic friends. I was going to a church where they were hardcore legalism, trying to press people down and get them to conform, right, to kind of legalism. I went to a church like that. I had friends who were living in this kind of this emotional, ecstatic kind of faith that was kind of void of content, but there was all about emotion and all this joy and all this with no basis for what they thought. I had all of that going on at the same time, and I'm like 12 years old or 13 years old, and I can't figure it all out, right? And I remember having this really hard time sorting out the difference between religion and genuine faith. And so after college, I decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work for 10 years, and I'm going to sort this whole thing out. Okay, I'm going to try to figure it out because I just wasn't there. I wasn't tracking. 10 years turned to 25. And so I was involved in business, and lots of people would say I was successful at that. But in January of 2009, I was supposed to be in New York doing a presentation with stockholders, and so I went to New York, and I'm talking about the strategic plan and what's going on in the industry and the company and all that kind of stuff. But instead of presenting that financial plan, I resigned. The first time in 25 years, I just had time on my hands. Instead of working 60 hours a week like I had been doing my whole business career, I all of a sudden had time. And so I found myself in a bookstore talking to a guy selling books at a Christian bookstore. And I told him, I said, I'm disconnected from God. I really need to figure this thing out. Can you help me? Where do I start? And he gave me a tour. He goes back and he says, you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd read a copy of the New Living Translation right here. I would put aside all of the stuff and all the peripheral stuff. I'd just read this and see what God says to you. That was 2010. And I tell you what, God spoke to me through the pages of Scripture. As I'm reading, it's like I'm reading this thing for the first time. I was an elder, a leader in a church, right? I was supposed to be leading other people. And I felt completely disconnected from God, completely on the side, spending all my time on business and doing all this stuff, busy, 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 and completely disconnected from God. And for me, it took a radical, radical shift to say, I'm actually going to just read this book and see what God has to say. You know, I can't undo years of time. I can't do that. Okay, but I do know this. The notion that living our life on our own and then finding God at the end is a bad idea. It is way better to figure out God now, figure out who He is, and to learn to walk with Him. I share a great deal of headspace with this truck driver that towed my car. He is unwilling to settle for religion, and he is unwilling to play church. He doesn't want to do that at all. Now I am praying for him that God would barge into his life to show him that he exists and that he can be found. Those that seek God find God. At Lighthouse, we are in the habit of telling people what we understand the Bible to say and encouraging people to dive into the scriptures, to read the scriptures, to find what God has said themselves, knowing that as we work with the living and active Word of God, that it will change us. That's what we're about here. If you begin to seek Him without precondition, what's likely to happen is that you'll find salvation and freedom from sin. You'll find an awareness of God's presence in your life each day. You'll start to see an organic change process where things like peace and joy and hope replace things like anxiety and fear and depression. All of the things that we really want in life are byproducts of walking with God. Those are the things that we want. We read the Bible because we want to know God. We want to pray for you. We're going to sing one more song. There'll be prayer leaders in the front here and in the back. They'll have the lanyards. I'm not sure what color they are, but the lanyards, I think they're colored lanyards. And we want to pray for you. Anyone at Lighthouse can come and pray. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse. We all need prayer. And if you want prayer today, you'd like to pray with a prayer leader during this last song, this is your time for prayer. But first, let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw each person into prayer right now, and that maybe some of them would pray with a prayer partner. I pray all this through Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.